Greetings, God bless, and welcome to the Beginning and End podcast, the official podcast of the beginningandend.com website. And of course, we are a Christian website dedicated to Christian news, end time Bible prophecy, pop culture, Bible study, the Nephilim, and a host of other topics. So we have many, many articles that you can find, of course, at beginningandend.com. And today we are going to continue with our podcast series, Let the Bible Speak. And in this series, we just take one chapter of scripture and really open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what the Bible is saying. And it is certainly our prayer that that will happen with you today. And we are continuing in the book of Daniel. We're looking at chapter 3. Of course, in our previous chapters, chapter 1, we examined the lives of these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who of course were brought to Babylon in captivity when the Babylonians first invaded the nation of Israel, and really the southern kingdom of Israel at that point. And this is approximately 600 BC. This is before the destruction of the temple, which would take place approximately 17 years later, also at the hand of the Babylonians. But a number of young Jewish people were brought to the kingdom to serve in the king's court, and these three men were among them. And so, of course, this is really looking at living in that type of kingdom. And this podcast episode is called Living in the Kingdom of Antichrist. And what we're going to see here is the spiritual challenges these young men go through, and how it is really draws a stark parallel to the prophecies of the end times kingdom of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation, which of course will be the final 3.5 years before the second coming of Christ, as detailed in the book of Revelation. So, very exciting chapter, very powerful chapter. And if you've not listened to the first two podcasts of the series, I strongly encourage you to. But without further ado, we will get started in Daniel chapter 3. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, the province of Babylon. So we are actually going to stop right here in verse 1. And already we see that going back to Daniel chapter 2, the prophet Daniel, who was also among the captives in Babylon along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he in Daniel chapter 2 demonstrated the power of God over the occult. Because not only when King Nebuchadnezzar required someone to interpret his dream, but not just interpret it, to tell him what the dream was because he had forgotten it, Daniel, of course, was able to do so through God's power. And in this dream, Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, of course, of this statue that had a head of gold, a chest and torso of silver, abdomen, midsection of brass, legs of iron, and toes of iron and miry clay. And in his interpretation, Daniel said that head of gold is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. It represented the king and his empire, as he being, Nebuchadnezzar being the most powerful man on earth at that time. And what we see here, picking up now in Daniel chapter 3, is even though Nebuchadnezzar started to come to some understanding of the power of the true God of the Bible, Yahweh, he is not coming to a full understanding yet, because here in chapter 3, we see now he's gone ahead and made a statue of gold of himself. I think it's fair to connect that to the dream interpretation from chapter 2. And also we see the height and the size of this statue, which will be relevant even more in a few verses. So picking up now with verse 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And so this right here is really, this passage really captures some of the really powerful aspects of the Bible that as you study more and you grow in your knowledge of Scripture and you move from the milk of Scripture, the basic concepts to the meat, you'll understand and grasp the power of the typology, the foreshadowing that God uses throughout the Bible time and time again. And so here we see a really powerful foreshadow of the Antichrist. You have Nebuchadnezzar, this global emperor ruling the most powerful empire on earth, erecting a statue that all people in his kingdom, you know, when all these mighty, the counselors, the sheriffs, the people of the provinces, that they are required to worship under penalty of death. And of course, when we look to the book of Revelation, we see that this is exactly the government, the system, the world order that is established under the Antichrist. That when the Antichrist, also known as the beast in the book of Revelation, comes into power, ruling the world, that he will require worship of him, that he must be worshipped as a god under penalty of death. And we can go right now to Revelation chapter 13, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we're just going to go right to verse 11, because really the interesting thing about the Antichrist is that, of course, the Antichrist is well known within Christianity and even for non-believers. People have heard of the Antichrist, but the false prophet, his cohort who works alongside him to promote the worship of the Antichrist, is an extremely significant figure in end time Bible prophecy. And this passage, beginning in chapter 11, really describes his kind of career and agenda working alongside the Antichrist. And so in Revelation 13, verse 11, we read, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So here we see something very interesting. So again, you see that clearly what the Bible is teaching is that in the end times, in the day of the Lord or the great tribulation, the final years before the second coming of Christ, that worship of the Antichrist will be mandatory under penalty of death. The final religion that will be promoted by the world will be the worship of the Antichrist and Satan, because we know that the Antichrist will promote Satan as well. So what we're seeing in Daniel chapter 3 is truly a preview of that. And we even see more biblical hints, so to speak, of this. Even in verse 1, we can see that Nebuchadnezzar, the image of gold, was 70 cubits in height. That's 60 cubits. The breadth was 6 cubits. And that at the time of worship, how did you know when it was time to worship? We're told in verse 5, you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer. So you have a statue who's 60 cubits in height, 6 cubits in breadth, and you worship it when you hear 6 instruments playing. And so I would submit to you, beloved, that that is not a coincidence. This number that we see, of course, is again foreshadowing the Antichrist, because right after the false prophet establishes the worship of this image, of this statue, that this kind of supernatural statue, because it says that the false prophet can give it life, we are also told that the false prophet will set up a system, an economic system based, of course, on the mark of the beast. In Revelation 13, going back there to verse 16, in Revelation chapter 13, we read, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond," six groups of people there, by the way, "to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So again, we see that there's this amazing parallels between what Nebuchadnezzar is doing in his kingdom in Daniel chapter 3 as a foreshadow, as a type and shadow of the Antichrist. And so this is hence why we are focusing on this is basically a foreshadow of life in the Great Tribulation in the kingdom of the Antichrist. And we have an article that we link to if you look in the description of this podcast on beginningandend.com called Nebuchadnezzar 666 Foreshadow of the Antichrist, where we go into great detail about all the parallels and how Nebuchadnezzar is a foreshadow, certainly in this part of his life, because he goes through a dramatic spiritual change, as we'll see as these podcasts continue. But at this point in his life, when he is still in rebellion against God, when he is still exalting himself as a god, he is certainly a foreshadow of the prophesied Antichrist of Revelation 13. So as we continue in Daniel 3, I know we're flipping back and forth. We're going to get back into Daniel 3 now and go through the chapter. We're going to pick up with verse. So now in verse 7, of course, the rules outlining the worship of the statue have been established. And in verse 8, we read, "Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image with that which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" So now what a turn this is taking. You know, in chapter 1, God demonstrated his power by keeping these three young men healthy on a diet that was observant of the Levitical diet and not eating a pagan diet that would have violated Levitical law. And King Nebuchadnezzar promoted these men to office after seeing God's power in their lives. In chapter 2, again, Nebuchadnezzar saw the power of God through Daniel being the only one who could interpret the dream, much less know what the dream was. Obviously, clearly through divine inspiration. But his heart was still hardened to the point that, again, when he heard that three people in the kingdom, just three, didn't worship, he was enraged. And this, again, brothers and sisters, is what we're going to see, what the Bible is saying is going to happen in the days of the Antichrist. And he raises a great question to them. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So clearly Nebuchadnezzar, still in his pride and his arrogance and his sinful rebellion, is not truly acknowledging God. Even though he had already done it twice in word, he had not fully come to any type of belief to fear the God of the Bible. And what a situation. You know, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This law was passed and we're not even told what they did or didn't do from their perspective. They're just immediately reported by the Chaldeans. The same Chaldeans, remember, that in chapter 2, Daniel saved the lives of. Nebuchadnezzar was prepared to kill all of the Chaldeans and wise men because none of them could interpret his dream. But it was only when Daniel came in at the last minute that they were spared, because he was able to tell King Nebuchadnezzar the dream and provide the interpretation of. But now, right away, here they come back, ready to turn in God's people. And this is really a picture, again, of the life we all live in, the tribulation of today, the day-to-day tribulation, where we are living in an Antichrist society. And I say that based on scripture. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John really writes about kind of the spirit of Antichrist as well as the Antichrist of the Great Tribulation. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, the Apostle John writes, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know things." And skipping to verse 22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also." And so, really, what is the Antichrist spirit? It's a spirit that denies Christ, that denies who Jesus is, that denies his divinity, that denies his lordship, that denies he as creator and Messiah and Savior. And certainly today, we are living in a society where, for some of our brothers and sisters all over the world, just having a Bible, when you think of countries like North Korea, the Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, many other nations that are hotbeds of Christian persecution, having a church, having a Bible, could be punished by death. And so we have Christians all over the world at this time putting their lives on the line just to worship with one another, just to read scripture. And even in other nations, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in North America or South America, persecution socially through being a Christian that one might go through, whether it's in school, at work, in your neighborhood, where if you really take a Bible-believing standpoint, you could be seen as an enemy of society, an enemy as a hate monger or something of that sort. This is the world we're living in today, a society that's turning from God, that's denying God. And of course, all of this is prophesied in scripture. But what is the response? What is the response? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing the most powerful man in the world, who said, "If you do not worship and bow to me, and bow to my religion and my God, you will die." What was their response? We go to verse 16 of Daniel 3. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. So it's amazing. In the face of this, being questioned by the king, what was their answer? First, they introduced their answer by saying, "We are not being careful." In other words, they're saying, we're speaking exactly what we feel. We're not even going to be remotely careful or mince our words in what we're saying to you. And that they said that God can deliver us and save us from this furnace. They were acknowledging that, one, their faith in God, two, the power of God, and three, the salvation of God. Because they said that even if God doesn't save us, we're still not going to worship the God that you set up, the statue and the image you set up. Now, why would they say that? Because they saw a greater reward than just their own lives that they had, their physical lives on earth. They saw the eternal life through the Messiah, through salvation in Christ. That's why they weren't scared, because they knew that God, that their souls were saved. and they spoke with the faith of one who knows who their Redeemer is, who their salvation is. It's not a king, it's not a government, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the answer from Nebuchadnezzar was to kill them, you know, as it will be in the days of the Antichrist, where many, many who proclaim the name of Christ will be killed for their faith. As we continue with verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And so, what a powerful revelation here, that we see that in the midst of this, Nebuchadnezzar said, take the furnace and make it seven times hotter, and they fully dressed them in all their garments to maximize the punishment of them. And they're thrown into the fire, these three men, and Nebuchadnezzar sees there's a fourth with them who is like the Son of God. And of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus in the fiery furnace with them, and we get a beautiful picture of salvation. Beloved, if there's anything that the devil and his fallen angelic armies and minions and demons want, it is for humans to burn in the flames of hell for eternity, for us to be denied the great salvation that is free and freely given through the shed blood of Christ on the cross. But when we believe, when we trust in Jesus Christ, we are saved from those fiery flames. All of us, the Bible tells us, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all destined to be bound and thrown into the furnace. But when we put our faith in Christ, when we acknowledge our sin and our need for a Savior, we are saved from those flames. So we see a beautiful picture of salvation here. And an appearance, a Christophany, as it is often called in theological circles, where this is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ appearing on earth. And of course, this happens many times throughout the Old Testament that Jesus appears. In fact, Jesus confirmed this by saying, No man hath seen the Father except the Son. So anytime someone sees God in the Old Testament, it's Jesus Christ. It is not God the Father. And so we also have a link to the article about this. The angel of the Lord foreshadowed Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. There's a link to that in the show description as well, where you can see a detailed explanation of that and many, many examples of scripture where Jesus appears in the Old Testament. But of course here, he is saving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar is astonished by it. So picking up in verse 27, And the princes, governors, and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. All of us, at some point in our lives, When we say and profess faith in Christ, when we profess our love for God, for His Word, for the faith of Christianity, we are going to be challenged. We are going to have this world that is being groomed and prepped for the Antichrist, the final and true Antichrist of Revelation 13. This world is going to give a challenge. It could just be among our friends, where we have to maybe have friendships die or cast into the furnace because of our faith. It could be in school. It could be in the job, in the workplace. It could even be in your own family. But we're going to be challenged time and time again when the world is going to confront us and say, bow. Bow to our belief and not to your God. Or they say, bow to another Jesus. It could be just, why don't you believe the apostate Christianity of so many churches all over America and all over the world that are compromising themselves and changing the Bible as they see fit? So you can still be a Christian, but just bow to the false Christ of the apostate churches of today. That might be the challenge you receive. Why not? You can still be a Christian. You can still say you love Jesus and all the good things that come with the Christian faith, except the fact that you're not worshiping the real Jesus of the Bible. The challenge can come in many, many different forms. What will your response be? How will you respond? Remember, think of your brothers and sisters all over the world. And if they're able to listen to this, know that our ministry is praying for you. We are writing articles about you. We are encouraging other believers to pray for the many Christians who are in nations that are under strict persecution today. Because there are some Christians today that are literally putting their lives on the line just for proclaiming the name of Christ. And if you are not in that situation, think about that. Think about what other believers today, right this very moment, some are sitting in prison, some are being tortured, some are being separated from their families just for their faith. And if you are able to live a comfortable lifestyle, which I am, certainly, I'm not in any type of situation remotely close to that. Think of the gratitude we should have towards God and the zeal and desire we should have to serve Him and proudly proclaim the name of Jesus. If you live in a country where you can be a Christian without persecution, rejoice. Where you're not running risk of being imprisoned or tortured or killed, rejoice. But as you rejoice and thank God, proclaim His word, proclaim His gospel. Do not let your light be covered. Let it shine. Let people know there's a Savior who loves them, who will forgive their sins freely, who can save them from the fires of hell, Lord. That is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so these are challenging times we're living in. As the Apostle John said, there are antichrists already in the world. I see those as lowercase a antichrist, meaning they have that spirit, that same idea where they want to deny the true Christ. They want to deny the Bible. They want to deny God's sovereignty. And they are prepping this world for a time when just saying or believing in Christ will cost you your life. That is where this world is headed, as the Bible very, very clearly states, that you will worship the Antichrist or you will die. Answer the challenge today. However it's coming to you, pray for strength, build yourself up in the Word, so that when you are challenged in whatever form or fashion it comes, it could just be sinful temptation from a group of friends. Stand for God. Don't bow to the devil and his kingdom and his sinful system of sinful temptation. Stand for Christ and bow to your Savior. So that is our study for today. And we certainly will continue with Daniel chapter 4. Another amazing chapter where we see King Nebuchadnezzar finally come to the full realization. It seems like he's almost there now. He makes this great profession at the end of the chapter saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says no God could deliver after this sword, no other God. So we see that he's still holding on to the false pagan gods, but he's now elevated the God of the Bible over them. But he will soon come to a full stop in his pagan beliefs, because God is going to do something amazingly and so miraculous that it's going to bring the most powerful man in the earth, literally to his knees for a long time. And so we'll also see again more foreshadows of the Antichrist and a very interesting concept of who the Antichrist is. Who is he? Who is he? What is the identity of the Antichrist? Well, guess what? Did you know there is a hint of who he is, or what he is, I should say, in Daniel chapter 4? There certainly is, and we will be exploring that in the next podcast, so be sure to tune in. And thank you once again. For more information, for hundreds of articles about the Christian faith, about Christian news, end-time Bible prophecy, pop culture, all these topics, you of course can go to beginningandend.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast to stay informed. You can rate us as a great way to support our ministry and make our show more searchable to share God's word with this world. So thank you, and may God bless you abundantly.